Mr. Greep is a slow, ponderous, and disinterested teacher. He's almost as dusty and lifeless as the classroom around him. Greep commands each of you to read from textbooks, which you're forced to share, one per two children. In a couple of cases, there are insufficient textbooks and children are just forced to listen. He drones on about the local city infrastructure, even talks about the site of St. Jude's, which used to be a workhouse, then a factory, and then became abandoned before it was reopened as this place. He starts regaling a bored class about how the bodies of countless orphans and women were discovered at the site some decades ago, but trails off, concluding, "We don't indulge in sensationalist nonsense here. Turn to page 12, where we'll cover imports and exports." Greep is an older gentleman. He looks like he doesn't want this job. He certainly doesn't seem to be here out of care for children or their education, but why anyone would choose to have a job here is beyond the three of you. Given recent events where you saw Father Vogel seemingly fit in front of you and then deny that anything ever really happened, each of you is likely troubled or thinking on that, more so than you are reading a textbook. And very unusual for this centre is the range of children in a classroom. We have Emily, who is pretty damn young, in the same class as Damien, who by rights should be leaving high school next year. So the textbooks aren't tailored to the pupils in attendance.
I've tried placing myself near Lana if I could. Start to like her.
Do you want to share a textbook with Lana?
Yeah.
You make your way over to her. The three of you did arrive a bit late because of the time you were spending with Father Vogel, but Greep didn't seem to show much of a damn about it. Lana smiles at you and lets you budge up and says, "I wondered where you'd got to."
Yeah, the little girl, Emily, she wanted to say something to the father and he went mad.
Really? Why, what did he do? I can hear you talking back there. Less chat, more read.
I try to kind of pretend that I'm reading for a bit, and then as soon as you know there's any kind of noise, if I see him look away, I'll just whisper. He's like some other language. It's like something about a bacchanal. What's a bacchanal?
I've no idea. What is that, Latin?
I was thinking too.
Maybe you could ask Mr. Greep after class. He's a teacher. He probably knows stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how much he's knowing. He knows, or how much he wants to do this anyway.
Well, if my run-in with my stepmother taught me anything, it's that usually no adult wants to be where they're stuck. I think she was a bit grateful for the excitement. Maybe he'll like a bit of gossip about the priest if you tell him something disgusting about him.
Huh. Okay. Huh, maybe I will.
Is Damien sharing with Emily, or did Damien make his own way to a different desk?
Damien probably went to sit in the corner. Again, he's not really concerned with chit-chatting as he's reading this boring book, doing his best to fit in. He's highly concerned about what happened last night, what just happened. Again, more and more I find myself thinking this place is mad. It's a madhouse. There's no order here. How the hell am I going to continue to be here? I don't even want to be here anymore. I'm bored of the game already. But I have to make do, I suppose. And I just read this book. Admittedly, at least this class seems normal compared to the priest going crazy in front of us.
No one pays attention to you sat in the corner. I assume you have your back to the wall, as it were. You're not at the front of the class in that corner.
Yes, though I'm at the back. There's a big difference between me and someone like Tobin. He really doesn't care about getting in trouble and being noticed immediately, which is kind of cool, I guess, but also really stupid.
What about Emily? What's Emily doing? Where's she going?
Emily is sitting in the middle of the class, looking at this book she hasn't opened, because she doesn't really... She has no idea what's going on right now. She is still in shock from what she saw, and she's kind of regressing into herself. So she's just playing with her toy that she has attached to her arm, and fiddling with the glass beads in her pocket while looking at the cover of the textbook.
Emily, you feel something hit the back of your head. Something small. Then again another one. And then you hear some laughter.
Emily turns around.
An ink cartridge hits you on the cheek. No laughter. This is not a funny lesson. This is not a lesson in comedy. Silence is golden, you little shits. Read the book.
You're not allowed to throw with things.
Excuse me, little girl. Who are you?
I'm Emily.
Full name, stand up.
I don't want to stand.
Stand up, full name.
Emily hesitates, but she, after a little while, stands up. And looks at everyone that's now looking at her, and she looks like she's about to have a breakdown. Emily?
Emily. I don't brook talking in my lessons, Emily. I find talking is not conducive to learning. The only person who should be talking is me, and people could talk back when I ask them to, but that is it. Otherwise, silence is golden.
You talk funny?
I'm sorry. Could you say that louder so that everyone in the class can hear you?
You talk funny.
He suddenly picks up some keys from his desk and flings them at you. Could you make a reflexes roll, please?
Okay, I get 13.
Okay. You dodge out of the way of the keys that strike your desk and knock some of the beads you were playing with to the ground.
No! Emily gets to the ground immediately and starts crawling around after the beads while she mumbles something.
Sit down and shut up. No toys in my class, you impetuous little girl. And he strides over to you and grabs you by the wrist.
Emily tries to pull her wrist back, and as she's not even looking at him, she's just looking at the beads that are just rolling around on the floor.
He squeezes your wrist and twists it hard.
Ow!
And he looks around at the rest of the class. You see, everyone, you see what happens when you don't follow the rules. The law is the law. The rules are the rules. Order is order. And we must maintain order in this classroom. Or things get broken. And he moves his face very close to Emily's and twists her again.
I look on in a bit of shock now. I guess it's complete silent, but the words that Lana said about him probably not wanting to be here or being bored. I mean, there's probably a reason for him here.
I just feel a little sick in my stomach.
And then another girl walks in through the door. She's stuttering. She's stumbling over her words. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm late, Mr. Greep. Miss Coachman. And he lets go of Emily's wrist. Why is the rattler so late for my class? Some other children stole my medicine and have hidden it somewhere. That's not my problem, is it? No, Mr. Greep. No, it's not. Rattler, sit with... No, you're already too late. You've missed vital parts of the text. Escort this little girl to Dr. Crow to get her wrist seen to. She may have fallen and sprained it. Tell Dr. Crow that. Yes, Mr. Greep. And the girl, she's about 13 or 14, she goes over to Emily. Come with me.
Emily follows her.
I assume you have picked up all of your beads.
Yeah, she picked all of them, those up she could.
It's all right, she says, once you're out of the class. Mr. Greep's not so bad. There's far worse than him.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Oh, it's okay. I'm one of the prefects. We're okay. We can look after you. You just have to get on our good side, that's all.
You electrocute people.
What? No, you're mistaken.
I saw it.
I think you're just scared. Everyone's scared here after their first night, but things get better. Things get easier, I promise. Look, have you seen any pill bottles around or anything like that?
Pill bottles?
Pill bottles. Bottles with pills. You know, they rattle with pills in.
No.
Oh, God. God.
Is something wrong?
I need medicine. I take medicine. I need to take my medicine 4 times a day.
Are you sick?
No, I'm not sick. I'm just need it to take the edge off.
I have to take medicine.
Did they let you bring it here with you?
No, it's a long time ago.
Maybe Dr. Crow will prescribe you medicine.
Why can't Dr. Crow...
If Dr. Crow prescribes you medicine, could you let me have some?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I would really love to be your friend. My name's Francis. I mean, everyone here calls me Rattler. It's not a nice name, but you can call me Francis if you'd like.
Okay.
What's your name?
Emily.
Emily. And she puts out her hand for you to shake. Let's make a deal.
What's the deal?
You get medicine from Dr. Crow and you share it with me.
Oh. Okay. I can try.
Thank you. And she grabs your hand, the injured one, and shakes it.
Ow.
Oh, I'm sorry. And she takes you to Dr. Crow's office and knocks on the door. Says you should probably sit on the stool outside and wait for Dr. Crow to come out when she's ready. She doesn't like to be disturbed, so you just knock. I've knocked, you don't need to knock again. She'll open the door when she's ready.
I don't want to be alone.
If I don't go back to Mr. Greep's class, I'm going to get in trouble.
He's mean.
He's strict. He has rules, and if you don't follow them, you get in trouble. But he really isn't the worst of the bunch. You can get on his good side. Everyone here has a good side, really.
Haven't seen much of that.
I imagine he's just as nervous as you are. Chin up, things will get better.
Okay.
That's a nice toy you have on your sleeve.
It's not a toy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a monkey.
Oh, is it? What's his name?
Haven't really decided yet.
Why don't we come up with a name for him together?
Okay.
Maybe if we get enough pills, we could hide them in your monkey. No one would look there.
No. He only eats monkey food.
Well, we can pretend them it's monkey food, can't we?
No.
I'm not sure that you're as nice as I thought you were. All I'm asking is to hide some pills in your monkey.
No. He only eats monkey food.
And I'm...
No pills.
You promised. You shook my hand.
I said I would get pills.
You promised you'd help me.
I will help you if I can.
Don't you dare let me down. Don't you dare. And she walks off. Meanwhile, in Mr. Greep's classroom, he just sits behind his desk after having abused Emily. He occasionally runs his fingers through his waxed hair and then rubs those same fingers on his sleeve, leaving a sticky white-grey streak down his left sleeve. It seems to be a ritual. That and grinding his teeth. It sometimes looks like his teeth don't quite fit in his mouth. He's just always working them, always grinding them. His jaw is just constantly in motion. And at the same time, when he speaks, his mouth barely opens.
Sometimes while reading, I just look at him for a few seconds. While we're reading away, he literally just sits there, just doing this. That's all he does for the hour.
Pretty much. Occasionally, he looks across the class for trouble. And on a few occasions, especially when there's any kind of bullying, if a child flicks a pellet or spits a paper ball at someone, that kind of thing, he will just shout out and punctuate the silence with a "Silence is golden!" or "Sit down and shut up!"
Well, I continue to just look at the work. At least it's easy. Just reading boring facts. I can do that all day.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to sit next to Lana. I'm just trying to do that and pretend to read or whatever, and make, you know, small talk if anything allows it. Otherwise, I mean, everything is weird, and I'm really wondering what Emily started talking about back there, about a girl being, or Jackie being electrocuted. But yeah, I try to just enjoy this moment that I have, if I'm allowed.
Occasionally Lana gives you a smile, and there are some exercises in the textbook that you're supposed to write down answers to. Lots of compare and contrast the economic situation of the region where between 1974 and now, when the big change happened, things like that. And what you find, although you're very absently minded working, Tobin, and whereas Damien is looking through the textbook, is quite a lot of the textbook is redacted. There's been pages that have been removed, passages that have just been scribbled over in ink. It's not a professional job. There's, you know, the government hasn't come in with lines of tape to cover up sentences, but there's clearly either someone has had a lot of fun sabotaging these, or someone's been on a mission. And it certainly prevents you from being able to answer some of the questions.
Is there any place where there's... where you can hint at what kind of thing that has been crossed out or taken out if it's just covered at places?
Yeah, it's a pretty crude job. So, yeah, you can see references largely to where you are now. This is all about the local area, all about the city, and most specifically, there are sections about this place as it used to be, a workhouse. And so when it's asking you to compare things like to the Industrial Revolution and the way this was now and how central this place was to the community and how now it's changed, but much of the detail is obscured. I'm heading out for a piss. If I come back and any of you have moved an inch, I swear to you that you will not feel like moving again for a week. As he walks out, he bumps into Frances and he pushes past her. She comes in and takes the seat that Emily was sat at.
After he's left at least a few seconds, I'll let out at least a little sigh.
You're not the only one. A lot of the children just start chattering now, talking about, God, this is dull. And this man's a bully. He's worse than any teacher I had on the outside. The prefects are generally laughing among themselves. No one is focusing on the work, that's for sure.
Even the prefects are reading this. How many times have they read this?
I don't know. I don't know how long they've been here. I get the impression they must have been here for longer than a year.
Yeah.
You know, if this school part of St. Jude's has been running for this long.
Did you have an okay one? I mean, showing you around?
No, not really. I think they're all pretty nasty, be honest. My one was a guy called Clifford Price.
Oh, I thought you girls would just have girls showing you around.
There weren't enough. So, yeah, he was polite enough, but then I found him going through my bag, trying to steal some of my stuff.
Yeah, they took my two. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what important things I would have, but I guess they took your phone.
Oh, yeah, that's long gone. Don't have a phone now. Though, last night from the girls' dorm, I heard a radio, I thought, and I wondered if it was in the boys'. Sounded like someone was listening to like talk radio or a podcast or something, but it had that static that made me think it was a radio, not like digital media, you know?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh.
But, you know, I hid my phone, actually.
You hid it?
Yeah.
You've still got it?
Yeah. In case, you have in a spot where no one else will see. You could use it if you like.
I mean, yeah, I've got some friends on the outside who could probably, if you were up for a bit of a great escape, maybe we could find a period where we climb the walls outside. I mean, there's security on the gate, but how hard can it be to get out of this place? We're not in a prison.
We've been here one day, Lana, but...
what are we going to do? Just go come to this... There's two classrooms in this place.
I know.
There's two classrooms, a chapel, and a therapist's office, and some... And I saw some of the other rooms, like this rec room and this... and storage and loads of dusty rooms that don't appear to have been refurbished. It looks like one of them was supposed to be... to have loads of video game consoles and things like that in, and that, hell, the electric's clearly running, but didn't seem anyone was ever playing on them. But
that's weird.
Yeah, we're just gonna.
I'm kind of as she is talking a bit louder. I'm kind of looking around a bit nervously, but there's a bit of a racket now, I guess, in the class.
Yeah.
So I say, yeah, okay, but where would we go, you know? What would happen once we got out?
Well, if you get me my phone, I'll call one of my friends and she can get her dad's car, swing it round the place, and who cares? We'll just get out and we don't even have to come back.
Yeah, like completely just fuck off.
Well, why not? I mean, it's not like they can arrest us, we're kids.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Let's try and do it.
All right. And she gives you a smile. Sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah. Kane, did you ever drive?
Oh, a bit, but, you know, really all I did was get under a car and, you know, yeah. Cut okay. The brakes.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you actually did that, yeah.
YouTube's pretty good for things like that.
That is lit. It's mad.
It slaps.
It slaps, yeah.
I like you, you know.
Yeah, you're alright.
I mean, you could stand to lose a few pounds, but I like you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're not going to let us have much sweets here, and maybe, I don't know, do we have a PE? Maybe I will.
I don't know, actually. It's not like there's any grass around here. It's just a big concrete lot. I saw out of Crow's window when I went in for my session, there was, like, a sand area.
Do you notice that her window was, like, the only one that isn't barred that I've seen?
So what, you're thinking that would be a way out?
I don't know. I just saw sandy fields on the outside. I don't know what that is, or where it leads.
Must be round the back. When we got here, we didn't really go for a walk around the building, but
yeah.
Maybe it's like a track or, you know, yeah. Athletics thing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I guess. I mean, it would be weird if we don't do any kind of physical exercise. Well, again, everything is weird here. So.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But yeah, it's a possibility.
Everybody shut up. I knew you'd all talk. But I'm pleased to see none of you have got out of your seats. Right, class will soon be over. And then you'll be going to Miss Edgewood's class. You'll be on your best behavior for Miss Edgewood. She is a delight. And you will do homework for me. I know this isn't the most riveting subject in the world, but it is necessary for you to know it. By tomorrow, all of you are to have written 1,000 words on the 1970s history of this area, based on the textbook. Specifically, I want you to explain your family's role in that. I know most of you have families from around this place. If your families don't come from around this place, then make it up. I don't care. But 1,000 words on your family's role in the 1970s in this area. I know it sounds very specific, but I'm sure you can manage it. Rack your brains. I'm sure your daddy and mummy told you something.
Inwardly, I have to hide a snort of derision at the concept of making it up, which, sure, that's exactly what I'll do, because of course my parents don't come from round here. But whatever, I'll do this task. I briefly look towards Tobin and that girl he was speaking with. I saw them talking. Oh, he's such an idiot. She probably thinks that girl likes him, when actually she's totally just using him for amusement, and he's too idiotic to see it, but good for him. Anyway, I look at the book and I think to myself, I'll do this task as quickly as I possibly can.
There's no bell that signals the end of the class. Eventually, Greep just claps his hands and says, right, that's enough, everyone go. And as chairs scrape and people start getting up, Dr. Crow opens the door to her office and sees little Emily sat there. Emily! What are you doing here? It's not your appointment yet. I heard you knock on the door, but I've been neck deep in paperwork, almost literally.
I was told to go here.
Oh, come in, come in. You must be having troubles. Take a seat on the stool.
Okay.
She lounges back behind her desk. Sunlight continues to stream through the window behind her. So what appears to be the trouble?
I don't want to be here anymore.
Oh, Emily, that's perfectly normal. You need to be a big, strong girl. You've been here for less than 2 days and you're already wanting to go home.
I'm not big or strong.
But you can be. You can be! Listen. I've been watching you since you arrived. I keep my eye on everybody here. And I know you're having some difficulties. I know that you're struggling. It must be hard being so young and being away from mummy and daddy.
Someone got electrocuted.
Really? Is that so?
She nods.
Well, that's very troubling indeed. Electrocuted. Well, an accident, I assume.
No.
How could you electrocute yourself on purpose, Emily?
I didn't get electrocuted. Someone else did.
Do you know who?
A student.
Do you have the name?
Can't remember the name.
Well, no students have come to me to say they've been electrocuted, Emily.
Just because they're scared.
Or maybe it was just a bad dream.
No.
Maybe someone told you someone got electrocuted just to scare you.
No.
I know you sometimes see things that aren't real, Emily. And
this was real.
Well?
There was no bugs.
Here we are with the bugs again. Listen. Do you feel like bad things are happening to you?
The teacher grabbed my hand and it hurts.
I'll have to speak to Mr. Greep. Thank you so much for letting me know that. Now, how about the other children? How are they treating you?
Can you look at my monkey? I think it got really scared.
She cocks her head sharply to the side. I think your monkey is just fine. I think your monkey's having the time of his life.
You have to listen to it with the thingy. And she points at the stethoscope that's lying on her desk. Make sure its heart is okay.
Emily, I'm going to tell you something that we counsellors shouldn't really say to our, let's call this what it is, patients. But I'm going to tell you because I think you're a big, strong girl and you can understand, okay? So, a therapist should never tell a patient when they're going through a psychotic break. You don't know what it might make them do. You have to humour their fantasy until they can let themselves come to the conclusion. And then be there for them as a safety net. Do you understand?
Talk weird. Just like a teacher talks weird. Use very big words.
And yet I think you probably understand them all because you're a very, very intelligent girl. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because, Emily, you are having a psychotic break. That monkey does not talk. It does not breathe. It is not alive. It's not dead either. It's just a stuffed toy strapped to your arm to stop you from hurting yourself.
No.
And the reason I'm telling you this is because she snaps her fingers next to your head. It's time for a wake-up call, Emily. Time to grow up. Okay. If you can't handle the reality of the situation here, then I don't know what to do. I will be here for you when you're hurt, and yes, I can see your wrist is looking a bit bruised. I'll put a bandage around it, and I'll tell you that it will be all right, because it will be all right, Emily, it will be. But none of this talking to stuffed toys. None of this making up that people are getting electrocuted.
Can I have some medicine for the pain? It really hurts.
I could get you some medicine, yes. Though you are quite young to self-administer it, I trust you. And she opens her filing cabinet, fishes out a bottle. Now, do you know how to open these?
No.
I can show you. Because I trust you. Now, Emily, I've got some advice for you, and I hope you take it. There will be people here who try and do bad stuff to you. And the only way you can survive is you have to fight back with worse than they're giving to you. These youths don't understand what it is to be afraid, so you need them to fear you. That's the only way they will ever stop.
Okay. I'll try.
Now, one last thing, and do be strict with your pill taking. I expect you to only take one. Let's think. You can take one pill after each meal. That should do. Big meal. You went to church today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you go to church when you were out of here? Back in the real world?
At Christmas.
Oh, okay. So what do you make of all this talk of heaven and hell? Honestly.
I don't like it.
You don't like the talk of heaven or hell?
No.
Oh, why not?
Because it's not real.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Well, and she punches her forefinger into the table as if she has just cracked the atom. You know heaven and hell aren't real. Therefore, that monkey on your arm isn't real. There we go.
No, he is. And Emily caresses it.
Take some of those pills. You'll feel right as rain come the morning.
Okay. I'm gonna go now.
Emily. Before you go, you should know, and don't share this with Father Vogel. It'll hurt his feelings. Heaven and hell are a human construct, and hell is only as painful as we allow it to be.
Okay.
You better get to Mrs. Edgewood's class now.
Okay.
Have fun. Oh, and your arm. As she gives you a roll of bandages. You can do it, not too tight, but tight enough. I've got another pupil to see.
Emily takes the bandage and looks completely lost, but takes it with her regardless.
Are you heading to Edgewood's class, or are you doing something else?
She's gonna wait outside the classroom and see if she can find Francis.
You do bump into Francis as the rest of the pupils are filing into Edgewood's class, and I would just like to check, are Damien and Tobin doing the same?
I'm staying behind a little, just, I want to see if, it's, well, I want to tell Mr. Greep, or ask him actually, about what happened with Father Vogel.
I would just head to the next class. I'll pass by Tobin. My mind will be a little concerned about Emily. But, again, nothing I can do. So I'll just get my bag up and head to the next class quickly. I want to make sure I can sit at the back again.
Okay. So, Damien, you see Emily, and you see Emily about to get into a conversation with the girl that Greep addressed as Rattler.
Kind of just watch, walking past.
Well, have you got it?
Emily kind of looks around, being aware that she is in the middle of a hallway. Think maybe we should... You should get it another time.
Let's go to the bathroom. Edgewood won't mind.
Okay. As long as I don't get in trouble.
Okay? You won't get in any trouble. I won't let you.
Okay.
Francis and Emily dart to the bathroom.
I feel again a moment of thinking, should I do something? But at the same time, I mean, the girl's going to the girl's bathroom. I can't really... Ugh. God damn it. I can't do anything. I'll just head to the class. But I definitely note down that it looked quite weird that this girl was taking Emily off somewhere.
And that leaves Tobin with Mr. Greep, who is collecting textbooks and putting them in stacks. Why are you still here, boy?
Mr. Greep, something happened before, as we were just leaving from the services with Father Vogel. I just wanted to ask you about that.
What kind of something?
He started saying really weird things that I didn't understand. Something about a Bakthanai, Dalai Lama Bakthanai or something.
And that's the first time you've heard him laugh.
I laughed a bit too.
Eli Lama Sabachthani.
Yeah, that was it.
Or words to that effect. I'm not a practicing Christian myself.
What does it mean?
My God, why have you forsaken me? It's what Christ apparently said on the cross. It was the last thing he said before he expired. He shouted to the heavens, Eli, Eli, that means God, God.
Oh.
Sounds... Yama Sabachthani, why have you forsaken me?
So is it Latin then?
I don't know if it's Latin, Hebrew or whatever, but... And you're saying Father Vogel is... now becoming the Messiah?
I don't know, he was there. First he fell over and kind of knocked himself out. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
The man's a fool.
And then he said he was fine, and then he started shouting that as we left, because Emily told him something about a girl having been... Yeah.
That'll get his attention. He likes the girls.
Yeah. See some kind of... Is he bad?
Oh, he's not the worst of us.
Yeah?
But he is a fool. And now you need to get to Edgewood's class. You've been lingering here for far too long, and I am not your friend, boy.
Thanks for answering my question, Mr. Greep. I say, and I... go.
Rare to find a boy interested in languages.
I just nod as I leave the room.
Mrs. Edgewood starts the lesson with Damien taking his customary corner seat. There's more space in here, and Tobin arriving late. Buoyant and excited about the subject at hand, but as she notices children talking over her, she swiftly slumps into depressed disinterest. She murmurs, putting her forehead in her right hand, I'm only playing ball if you are. Before taking out a novel, putting her feet up on the desk and starting to read.
I wait a few minutes. Does she just eventually sit down and give up? this class?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, your eyes are drawn to the artwork around the room, apparently created by various children at the centre, although you're not sure when. Some of it could be classed as disturbing, as it's clear troubled minds have poured their anxieties out onto the paper.
I suppose I look over this artwork for a bit. After all, I do enjoy drawing myself.
Yeah, there's all kinds of drawings that range from the mundane to the horrific. There's a lot of family paintings that show people in states of injury, even death or decomposition. There's burning buildings. There's brutalistic high-rises dominating the surrounding buildings. There's lots of images of destruction and violence, but they've all been painted with poster paint, all thick and gloopy, none of it terribly high quality. I mean, this is classroom painting made by children between the ages of 9 and 14, so you're not likely to see anything by Turner here.
Considering it seems the class is done, at least as far as everyone else is concerned, I actually raise a hand and just say, could I ask a question, Miss Edgewood?
Mrs. Edgewood, she closes her book.
I wrinkle my nose at this, thinking to myself how goddamn anal everyone around here is about their names. Miss Edgewood, what's with the artwork? Is that something we do?
If you would like to do some painting, she perks up again, I will bring out the supplies. One of the few things we have in lots of supply is paint and paper and some brushes as well, which will help. Though if we don't have enough, you can always use your fingers or your tongues. I don't really mind. So who's up for painting? There's a little bit of interest around the room. That sounds like interest to me. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Damien, Mrs. Edgewood.
Damien! Well, top marks to you, Damien, for taking part. I'll be back momentarily with my trolley of supplies. And she pretty much skips out. In the bathroom at this time. So what did you get?
I don't know. Pills?
Can I have them?
Yeah.
Do you need any?
No. I'm okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so sorry I nearly lost my temper earlier. It's just someone has hidden my pills or flushed them or something like that, and I really, really need them. I really, really need them. Without them, I can get a little bit wired. So when I say thank you for these, I really mean it. And she looks at the bottle. Huh. Surprised she gave these to you, but that's cool. I'll take these.
I hope they help you.
They can't make things much worse. I'm going to stay in here and take some of them. You can go to class if you like.
Okay. Hope it makes you healthy again.
Thank you, Emily. I think we can be friends, can't we?
Maybe. And Emily leaves and walks to the class.
You see Mrs. Edgewood coming back with a trolley of paint. Oh, come on, come on. Don't be late.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, it's all right. It's just art. Art isn't really important.
I like art.
Me too. It's the unimportant things that make the world go round, really, isn't it? Like you and me.
Yeah, think so.
Yep, well, take a seat. Okay, everybody, I've got painting supplies. Unfortunately, the only colours I've got are reds and blacks. We're all out of everything else. But that means I expect to see some moody paintings. Maybe something depicting sunset. That could be nice, couldn't it? Something warm, maybe a nice fire. I know you like fire, don't you, Dylan? And what else? What else is dark red in colour? Damien, my top student for the year. What else is dark red in colour?
I'm half tempted to say the most obvious thing, but that would sound a little weird, so I actually try and think of something else that I kind of say. Trees, when it's when the sun sets, trees are sometimes that colour. Sedgwood. So we could do a forest. Black trees, red bark, that sort of thing.
I'll believe it when I see it. Okay, well, that's your assignment, everybody. I want to see some moody forest scenes. You can all thank Damien for this assignment. And no scary eyes lurking in the darkness and looking out from within the thickets. I know what you're like. I want to see nature on the paper. If you don't have enough equipment, you can share. And I'll be walking around.
I wrinkle my nose, definitely not having expected this reaction, and now suddenly quite concerned that some kids are going to be paying attention to me. I didn't actually think she was going to bloody get the whole class painting. Ugh.
So do all three of you get into the painting?
Yeah, I mean, I think I give a thumbs up to Damien. I don't want to like be some kind of stalker of Lana, and now I was late again, so I've just ended up sitting whatever was free, really.
I look over and see a thumbs up from you, and I think, all right, at least he's happy. Yes, I'll get in the painting. I suppose it's something to do. Maybe I can even get in good with this teacher, having one teacher, not trying to, I don't know, abuse me would be nice. Ugh.
Well, now we can actually look at your stats, each of you, because depending on the type of painting you want to do, we'll be using a different attribute. So, for instance, if you want to do something that's really just quick and messy, you might use reflexes. If you want to do something that's quite thoughtful and deep, maybe you'll use reason. If you're trying to use something maybe from memory, you might use perception. If you're trying to be quite impressionistic, maybe you'll use intuition or even violence. So, tell me, Emily, which of your attributes are you using?
I think Emily has a lot of chaos in her mind. So, I think she will try and depict that. So, it's going to be quite a violent piece of art. A lot of explosions of colors and disorganization and very abstract. So I'm not really sure what could fit into that.
Well, violence works. So if you roll 2d10 and add your violence attribute.
Okay. Well, I get 14.
14? It's not a bad piece at all. I mean, it's amateurish because you aren't a, well, educated painter, I guess, but you certainly pour your heart out, and it does come across as violent. So tell me what you depict.
Emily is making a self-portrait. So she's drawing a very stick figure-ish girl, or at least trying to, that's very small on the piece of paper, kind of trying to express how small and vulnerable she feels in the world right now. And she's drawing her monkey too, and she definitely puts the most time and effort into drawing the monkey on her arm. And there's around her, it's just a mass of scripty lines, black, red, thick, thin, surrounding this character. And it takes up 95% of the drawing, where she only takes up the rest.
Lovely. Edgewood walks by you at one point and looks over and says, "Doesn't look much like a tree, but I think I get what you're going for. Keep working on that."
It's the bugs.
It's the bugs?
Yeah.
Well, bugs do live in trees, you're quite right. Anyway, I'll be back because I'm going to be grading these at the end of the class, and you've got a good chance of being top artist for the day. How about that? And she walks off. And what about Damien? What's he going for?
Damien would have gone for something perception-based, just trying to paint something from memory. But to be honest, his attention isn't really on it. After all, he prefers to draw, not paint with black and red. So using perception, I got a 9.
It's a little lazy. In fact, it's very lazy. It's rather poor, in fact. You've done better with your drawing, certainly. And you can tell, despite the fact you almost volunteered this on a bit of a lark, you're now realizing how bad your work looks compared to everybody else's. And when Edgewood walks over to you, she bites her lip and leans over and says, "Would you like to start again, or are you going to persevere?"
Maybe I should start again, Mrs. Edgewood.
Maybe. Or do you want to try and make something out of this? As they say, and don't repeat this outside of class, are you going to try and make some chicken salad out of that chicken shit?
Yes, Mrs. Edgewood, I get what you mean. I'll work on it, I kind of say with a smile, thinking to myself, what the fuck does this woman even care? But whatever.
And Tobin, what are you going for?
I start off just trying to get something out, and I really don't know what. So it kind of just becomes this brownish mess of the black and the red, and then it becomes a backdrop to what I continue drawing, and I think of Isaac, who cut me, and I start dripping the red like sprays of blood, and then I draw the outline. I try to draw the outline of the droid in the Novamal, and I scribble, "Welcome to Larkhead, Isaac." And I'm using violence as well, I think.
Yeah, I think that works. Violence or even soul.
Soul is not as high, but I could use soul, yeah. Why not? Let's do that. Just for the touch. 18,
wow. When Mrs. Edgewood comes by your desk, she looks at the painting and then she steps back. Her eyes widen.
Sorry, I don't know, I was carried away.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the scenario "It Started and Ended with Screams" for Cult Divinity Lost, from the upcoming Screams and Whispers scenario collection. The scenario was written by our dear friend Matthew Dawkins, who is also our Game Master. Joining Craig and Hjalmar was the talented Clara Herbel. The music was made by Atrium Carceri and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient. We would like to give massive thanks to our Champions of the Red Moon, Martin Heuschelbert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, and Robin for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult Divinity Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as a Champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, death is only the beginning.